It is now time for Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme as we say good evening to the host, Sluggy Dan. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. 434-1790. 434-1790. This is Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. If you're a boy, Sluggy Dan, Uncle Sluggy. Today we want to talk everything. Today we can get some deep conversations going. Going to introduce it to our first guest soon. They're there on the Zoom waiting. This will be a discussion that Ollie and I would really take interest in because of what they do. And they really appreciate what they do in Barbados. So I just want to thank them for welcome them to the radio program. And thank them for coming out. BH to the World. Finals is here. I think the finals is May 12th. Want everyone go and support all the awesome young people in BH to the World. And want to know me, that's what I care about most. I care about them getting the support and love from the public despite whatever happened, no matter what happened, no matter who win, no matter how the show is going. I want everyone to come out and support BH to the World and support these awesome, awesome young creators. Now, psychotherapy, Ollie. When I say psychotherapy, because the first time I heard the name, I didn't know what to think. I just being honest, Ollie, you know what I mean? Psychotherapy. Then I hear nature attached to it. So psychotherapy and nature, this song a bit deep. Bajan's ready for this, so it's something to be interested in. But Ollie, when you hear psychotherapy, I just want you to be honest with me. Tell me the first thing comes to your brain.
Therapy of the mind.
He's a smart boy. Therapy of the mind. Therapy of the mind. So if you hear psychotherapy and nature together, what comes to your mind?
Nature being used. As a therapeutic instrument.
Woo! Nature. So this means like trees and animals and that way, well, they get you. When it nature, the nature part will catch my attention because I'm thinking some animals, you know, some enough trees and some greenery and, you know, these mental exercises. Well, hear what? I have a group, Ollie, that I want to introduce Barbados to. We can talk to them for a couple minutes, but these next few minutes that we're going to have this conversation with them, I'm here to listen because I think it's something that Barbados really needs to get involved in. I think it's something that we all need to be a part of, Ollie. And I think things like what they do is important for mental health in Barbados. And you know, like we always talk about traveling and going different places, you know, seeing different experiences. And then, you know, on this platform we might talk about mental health issues and culture and the young persons, and you know, we do a lot to try to keep young people on a certain path, and we always love the discussions. But having discussions about therapy and psycho, like you said, when you think it's like psycho, you think the mind, and using nature. These are things that I've never heard, never seen in Barbados. So I'm extremely interested. Can you tell us a bit, please, about psychotherapy in nature?
Well, I do have the information.
Not you as yet. Maybe we come to you now.
We're coming to you very shortly, ma'am. But Sluggy sent me some information on you, and I'm going to read it.
A bit, yeah.
It says, psychotherapy in nature. Our mission, to provide safe and ethical, evidence-based psychotherapies, consultation, assessment, and clinical supervision in a broad range of settings and contexts for clients, practitioners, and organizations, to provide flexible and alternative services where traditional and mainstream services have failed or not been suitable.
Nice. Welcome to Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme. Good evening. Please introduce yourself to Barbados.
Hi, Hi, I'm Philippa Williams, and I'm the director of Psychotherapy in Nature and also Psychotherapy Training Hub.
Awesome. Say the name again for us.
Psychotherapy in Nature.
Well, you are.
I'm Philippa Williams.
Miss Williams, I didn't hear the first name. Again, problems.
Philippa.
Philippa. Oh, yeah. Philippa. Okay, nice. Nice to meet you, Philippa. And now, how did you get involved in doing this in Barbados, this psychotherapy in nature? How did you get involved in doing this in Barbados?
My previous career, before I became a psychologist, I was an international dressage rider and trainer. So I had horses in my life from the age of six. So I started to understand the benefits of animals, not only horses, but I guess for me personally, dogs too. And I think we all noticed, particularly during and after the pandemic, the importance of nature on our well-being, both physically and psychologically. So, I'm a psychologist primarily, and I've been actually working in nature-assisted, equine-assisted and canine-assisted therapies for about 10 years now. So when I moved to Barbados, I could see that, you know, there was a clear sort of gap in the market and a real need.
Okay, all of you can answer the call? We're going to answer the call. We can't make out what you're saying here. So Ollie's going to send you a number and answer the please calling. Please call the radio station by phone so that hopefully we'll hear you better.
No problem.
Yes, please. Psychotherapy in Nature. Salutes to them and the awesome work they do. We try to get the audio sorted, and when they can call in. I'm going to introduce...
Before you get there, I just want to confirm... Cool. Sorry, Sluggy.
Yeah, no problem. I want to introduce a good brother inside the studio with me that I brought here today. The public fell in love with him. You know, public love his brashness sometimes, or the public love his vulnerability sometimes, and they love how he's so different as well. So I want to introduce him, and those of you who've been going to BH to the World, those of you who attend BH to the World, you would know exactly who he means. If you want to call and wish him congratulations, or you want to message and wish him congratulations, you can message any of my numbers or 266-4862. Any of my numbers or 266-4862. If you want to wish him congratulations, he made it all the way to the semifinals. But his journey was an interesting journey, to say the least. his journey, he took a different path to everyone else, embarked on something new, something that he've never ever envisioned doing before. Went ahead and did it and reached all the way to the semifinals, which I think is phenomenal. So we want to welcome to BH Rhythm and Rhyme to have a conversation with us this evening. I want to welcome Lou the Bajan. Lou the Bajan, good evening to you, my brother.
Good evening, Sluggy.
Yes, how are things with you?
Man, no complaints. BH to the World has been an amazing experience. Uh-huh. Like, with everything, it got goods and bads, but the good has outweighed the bad by tenfold, and I have loved every second of it.
Oh, nice. No, I like the way you look at that. So now that you get a now that you've got a piece of the stage, is it something that you'll be doing more often?
Oh, 100%. As I said, I have been obsessed with fame for the last 10 years. Even though within that purview, I never really saw performance too much as part of it. My first love was filmmaking, directing, acting, but I got a taste of the play and I got obsessed now. Like something about just going on stage and just trying to entertain the crowd, something about that just brings life in me. So like, there's a lot that I still need to learn and in terms of bettering my craft, but 100% performing is something to stay for my future.
No. I want you to tell Barbados how you got auditioning for Beige to the World?
We talking about my start, my journey, or the actual audition? Because you know, with me, there's a lot.
We want the actual audition.
Okay. So
you hear the whole night. So at the end, we can talk about the actual journey. You understand? We can talk to Philippa. Philippa, we are coming to you just now. Mm-hmm. But you hear the whole night. So you're going away. So just give us the audition day.
Okay, the audition day. So the revival time with Sam Brady and Maxwell, the mm-hmm. pastor put me as caretaker of the land and looking to plant trees, really rejuvenate the place,
yes.
make it a community area. So like my mother had a bitter leaf tree in her yard mm-hmm. and she keep cutting it and it keep growing back. She keep cutting it and it's like, I decide, because it was two stems, I decided to cut off one. I was going to carry down the road to plant there. And on the way, while carrying the tree, I saw the poster for Beige to the World. Now, the time was roughly about 5:10. It said auditions at the Chester Brewster Community Center at 5 o'clock. And I went, put down the tree, come back, it was, asked a question if it was too late. You know, Beijing standing, turn everybody mm-hmm. late. So I had time, so I just went, bathe, change, and come back. Now, when I saw the poster, the question that I had wasn't if I can do this. It was, what am I doing? So by the time I walked into that audition, all I had planned was the first line. And after that, I went straight from the heart, and the judges was very impressed. Chief Judge Senator John King had even given me a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And well, a couple of weeks later, I got the call and it got in. And
so that day you went to audition,
mm-hmm.
that day you just had a piece of tree just coming from the church. You ain't had no idea that anything like this was going on?
No, like, I remember like hearing and seeing about Beige the World like, a couple years ago, but I didn't know that season 3 was happening. All I knew is I saw the poster and that's Winnie Farrell. And once I saw the opportunity, I just had to jump on it.
Taking opportunities. And I want you to be honest with me now.
Mm-hmm.
No, you went on that journey. You are happy you took the opportunity.
Oh, 100%. Like,
yeah. I want you to explain to Barbados, because we need to know how important these journeys are for young persons.
Yeah.
So explain to me, you happy that you took
that I am journey? More than happy. I am delighted. Lovely. All the good words, like, yes, it's... The thing about it is, when I came into this competition, I was doing content creation, but I was in audience building phase in terms of not right. getting people to know
not
me.
Not spoken word ever.
No, spoken word.
You've never done spoken word in your life before Beige to the World.
The stage
was the first place you ever attempted.
I had never even finished a piece before Beige to the World. I didn't each read a new piece.
Go. Whoa. That must be taxing on the brain.
Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. It was more than taxing. Like, it took everything and more from mm-hmm. me. But
so why are you happy that you did it?
From the fact...
I know why, but Barbara just don't know. Why are you happy that you did it?
I'm a people person at the end of the day. As yes. much as I want fame, I love people. I went when I was at UA, study psychology. Like, mm-hmm. people is my thing. And even before BHR mm-hmm. and what was going on, I cannot leave home without somebody recognizing me. Not everybody just come and talk, but I just see the looks.
I just see
how the people turn and stuff like that. And I mean, to the people that probably did this, I just know when you're recording me. I just know when you take out the phone to pretend that you're not recording. But I could see, I don't say anything, but I just love that. I just mm-hmm. love that I reached the point that I can say that I am known. Before, it's like some people know me, but like there's insurmountable evidence
yes.
that people know who Lou the Bajan is.
Yes.
And that is what I love.
Yes. I love it. You say you studied psychology at UE?
Well, the time I was there, I dropped out of, well, UE twice, BCC once, because the structure of school doesn't work for me, but yes, psychology.
So you at your time there while you were studying psychology, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, even though I stopped studying psychology at UE, I never stopped psychology. Psychology is something that once you learn it, you don't turn off. Like, I just see it every day. And I'll be honest with you, probably it has hurt me in a little bit because sometimes I just see people's actions and like because I understand the reasoning behind the actions, I just probably analyze the people too much, but I never stop psychology. It's a continuous thing. The study of people. Whoa. I love people.
Oh gosh, I love that. That's a good segue to bring in Philippa. Philippa, good evening. Good evening. We got any audio?
Good evening.
Well, yes, the audio is clear. The audio is clear now, nice and clear. Thanks for coming. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Now, I've heard this young gentleman in the studio said he studied psychology. He said he loved people, you know, the study of the mind. For you, I want to ask you a personal question before we get deep in the business. Why is the study of people important to you personally?
I'm going to say something really basic, but at the end of the day, I'm a human. And as humans, we do all experience difficulties in life. So I guess if any psychologist is honest with you, it's actually, you know, through the studying route and then practicing in your own postgraduate experience, you kind of you map out a better relationship of understanding with yourself, too.
Mm. Oh, I love that. No. When did you decide to mix the two? Because I know you don't necessarily hear the two together, psychology and nature. You don't necessarily hear the two together. When did you decide to mix the two together?
So originally, and my first training was in counseling psychology. But throughout my life, I've always had a love of animals. An absolute love of horses, and my previous career I was a dressage rider and trainer. So the first postgraduate qualification I did after my mainstream training was actually in equine facilitated psychotherapy. So that's working with horses or any equine alongside your general psychotherapy or counseling.
Nice. I love that. No. For you, in terms of psychotherapy and nature and your business, I heard Ollie speak a little about your mission. Can you explain to Barbados why did you decide to take on this particular mission? Can you explain to us about your mission statement and why this is the direction that you want your company to travel?
Sure. I think the most important thing to name right now in society is the stigma around mental health and actually seeking help. And that's a huge barrier and a huge challenge for all practitioners around the world, you know, and very much so in Barbados. You know, there's a massive stigma and even just for individuals, never mind what their mates or their family might say about them in terms of heading over to a clinic, you know, a clinical setting, going into a room where the door's closed, very small space, and trying to speak to a stranger. And, you know, never mind just speaking to a stranger, but, you know, potentially sharing your most vulnerable part, perhaps, that you're also ashamed of.
Ooh, that's a bit deep, Ollie. That's a bit deep for sure. Now, from your experience working in Barbados, because you know we are Caribbean people and we are a small island, and you know we think very, very differently. Can you be honest with us and tell us the challenges that you face? Because things like therapy, you know, things like therapy in Barbados is still feels like a taboo word when it should be something normal. There's nothing at all wrong with therapy. In fact, I think what you're doing and mixing the two is imperative towards the development of a nation. But can you speak to me about the challenges that you face when taking on this role of pushing therapy in Barbados?
Sure. I guess the main one is what you and I have both already named around the taboo and the stigma. To be honest with you, I haven't found too much of a challenge in terms of people self-referring or indeed other colleagues, medical practitioners referring to me. If anything, it's sort of more psychologists on the island that perhaps see this as a little bit taboo, the actual sort of nature-assisted and equine-assisted psychotherapy. I think people don't realise that there's actually a huge and really fast-growing scientific evidence base for equine and nature-assisted psychotherapies.
And you said there's no that if anything is the other psychologist on the island.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I think, like you say, it's a small island. Sometimes things can get a little bit stuck, being stuck in a time machine, and perhaps a reluctance to move with the time, which at the moment, with all the trauma that's in society and, you know, what we've just been through with the pandemic, it's highly important that we find other methodologies to work with people that are actually accessible. You know, in terms of that mission statement you mentioned and you read out earlier, you would have noticed the word inclusive. Okay, it's not an exclusive service. You know, nature and hanging out with animals, hanging out in anywhere in nature is meant to be inclusive. It's meant to be accessible, and there's far less stigma.
Nice. I love that. Why is your way and your company's way, why is that a preferred method, and why do you know? why is so effective?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question, and it's important. And I think my psychologist, sort of scientific practitioner mind always comes into play here, because the scientific evidence is important when we're talking about these things. People want to feel safe and they want to know that it's the tried and tested method. So again, you know, if you look at the evidence base for these types of therapies, there's evidence to show benefits of reduced anxiety, stress and depression, reduced cortisol, which is the stress hormone. So that's, you know, obviously going to help with emotional overwhelm, supporting PTSD and borderline personality disorders. The physiological relaxation that we can experience when we're outside leads to a restorative impact on the parasympathetic nervous system, which supports stress and trauma presentations, and again, sort of the borderline personality disorder. And like I said, you know, really what we're treating these days in society is trauma. You know, trauma presents as anxiety, depression, addiction, interpersonal difficulties.
Philippa, hi. I just wanted to ask a question. Because I actually understand psychology, my question might be a little different from what you're expecting, because I'm a big believer that life has all the answers, nature has all the answers, mm-hmm. and we are creatures of nature, animals of creature of nature, so I understand that they nice. Really do help us get better in terms of mental health. So my question to you is, because animals need training, what kind of special training does these animals have in terms to actually do the job in helping people with their therapy? That is my question to
nice.
You.
Nice. Or do they necessarily need training?
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I love those two points, and thank you for asking that. It's often a question I get asked by clients, bystanders, and other practitioners when I'm lecturing. And the answer is, actually, it's better, particularly in equine therapy, that the horses or the donkeys aren't trained, because we're working on their natural primitive responses, which is what you've just been talking to, that, you know, what we share is that we're all mammals. And what we're trying to tap into in the animal-assisted therapy is the body, okay? It's the limbic part of the brain, which we all share. It's responsible for fight, flight, freeze. It's the emotion center. And that's something that we can communicate at all levels with animals on in a non-verbal way. So as humans, over centuries, we've complicated things by developing language, all right? So evidence and certainly my clinical experience suggests that we are now over-reliant on cognitive function. And that's where a lot of the mental distress, the mental issues, I mean, you know, that's why they're caused. So what we primarily need is to actually regain that body-mind connection and actually remind ourselves that our bodies have always been sensing tools and they have a lot more wisdom than we tap into.
I really like that.
I love that.
Animals are less about training. So that means, correct me if I'm wrong, is more about the temperament of the animal versus training them. Because you can't have like an aggressive horse doing this. It's more about temperament than training, correct?
You could have an aggressive horse because as mammals, like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, I'm a human. I have a full range of emotions and that's okay. There are no good or bad emotions. They are just emotions, whether that's anger or happiness or sadness. And this is what we want animals to reflect back. You know, how am I experiencing this in the moment? You know, because they're true and they're raw and they're present, whereas human beings are not.
Sorry, sir. I really like that. That really opened a way to think there's no bad emotion in thing. So basically,
that's a bar. That is a bar, Lou. That is a bar. There are no, listen, ma'am, doc. In the music world, if someone drop a line like that, we say that is a bar. That is lyrics. There are no good or bad emotions.
That.
Lou. I see your brain working. Go ahead, ask, man. Take your time. I know you got questions. That one took me for a loop too. There are no good or bad emotions. What do you think, Lou? Right? I want you to explain to us and Barbados why you know that is a fact. Why there are no good or bad emotions. And you can answer the question after Lou. Because my thing is, something like that, and that statement can help a lot of parents, ma'am. You understand me? Like, if more parents, more bosses, you know, more friends, more husbands understand what you just said, I think that would help us to be better friends, better bosses, better workers, better partners. You understand me? Understanding that statement in itself, there are no good or bad emotions. I want you to expound on that. That one got me.
Yeah.
You got a question too?
Well, kind of connect that. I really like that because, so how I see it is we have two brains. We have the logical brain and the feeling brain. Mm-hmm. The feeling ones is deal with the emotions. And essentially, the feeling brain is the one that drives the car, while the logical brain is like, give the instructions. So like, if you got a situation where it's highly emotional, that is why people can't think logically, because you have to process the emotions. So when you say there are no good or bad emotions, it's just emotions, it really strengthens that view that I had. Is like,
yeah, it does.
It's more about processing the emotions instead of trying to stop yourself from feeling them. So it's like, when she says that, it really like strengthens that thing of we have two brains, the feeling brain, the logical brain. The feeling brain is the one that drives the car. Uh-huh. So if the feeling brain is overwhelmed with emotions, logic is not going to come true. Woo! So you need to process the emotions so that logic could once again play a part.
So a mom, doc, should, and everyone, this is Psychotherapy in Nature, doing great work in Barbados. You're going to be hearing me speaking about them a lot, rather all the time. Everything they got going on, the courses, the training, the openings, you're going to be hearing me giving you the information about that all the time on all shows. You know, because to them, they are supporters of BIM Got Talent, partners of BIM Got Talent, which is my youth platform, and they absolutely love them for that. But ma'am, and forgive me here, I ask a lot of questions, so you gotta bear me. I ask a million questions, and plus my phone does be going crazy with questions, so bear me. When you heard what Lou explained, there are no good or bad emotions, I need you to expound on that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think quite basically, again, let's come back to the concept of the six, you know, Darwin actually was the first theorist on this, that we all share as mammals six basic emotions. So animals will be real and congruent, okay? It's humans that complicate things. And the reason for this is systemic norms, you know, society, is a system, and there are systems in place, and the systems are what dictate what is and is not acceptable in society. So, you know, generally speaking, that the obvious one we could talk to is anger. You know, that's generally not accepted in society. And if we think about the damage that can actually cause us as humans by trying to suppress that emotion, you know, it all just becomes very complicated, and that's why the animal work is so powerful.
Nice. Thank you very, very much. No, I have a next question. Questions coming in. And big ups to y'all, Barbados. This is psychotherapy in nature, using nature with therapy. Understanding trauma and navigating through trauma and using nature to help with trauma. Is that something that you offer? Is it something you suggest? Is it something you suggest? Is it something you teach? I want to know everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, kind of talking to a question you asked earlier as well, you know, why nature? Why animals? We understand on a neurological level that when we experience trauma, part of our brain called Broca's area actually shuts down. And that is responsible for retrieving verbal memory. So if you imagine somebody with PTSD or they've experienced some sort of trauma and you stick them in that box room again in front of a stranger and you're trying to fix the problem by talking and processing on a cognitive level, we know that Broca's area is shut down, and it pretty much stays shut down until we can interrupt the trauma loop. We're not going to get very far if we're solely reliant on the talk therapy. So there's so much evidence these days that we need what we call bottom-up methodologies, which are your equine, your nature, your dance therapies.
Nice. I love that. I saw a statement from you, and the statement said, clinical supervision underpins the very essence of good care and best practice, and without it, clinicians cannot develop their knowledge, skills, and abilities. Let me read that again, Barbara. I love that. Clinical supervision underpins the very essence of good care and best practice, and without it, clinicians cannot develop their knowledge, skills, and abilities. Can you please explain for us?
Sure. So, everywhere in the world, actually, apart from Barbados, I'm not sure about other Caribbean countries, as psychologists, psychotherapists, and counsellors, in order to stay up to date with our licensure or registrations with things like paramedical council or psychotherapy organisations, we have to have 90 minutes of clinical supervision every month with a more experienced practitioner. That's how important it is. We all have blind spots, whether we've been practicing for 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years, 15 years. And you could argue that more experienced practitioners could also become a little bit complacent. So there are so many different reasons for why clinical supervision is important. But you've got primarily a practitioner there with more experience that you're going to run through potentially safeguarding issues and make sure you haven't missed anything. You know, again, I come back to, we're all humans and we will all have human responses to what we're dealing with. And sometimes, you know, we're dealing with quite severe trauma and that's going to impact us. So, of course, we need a second person to run through and make sure that we are still seeing straight and we're still acting in the client's best interest, because that's what it comes down to, is making sure that we're ethically practicing.
One question.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Philippa. So I want, the question asking is more like specific details. Say that I come to you with a diagnosis of bipolar disorder. What would you recommend? What procedure? How often? Like, what some of the actual details of what can happen
once you come to you? How can your company work? I remember people's is psychotherapy in nature, and they also have psychotherapy training hub, which I absolutely love, which some of the questions I'm asking is coming for as well. So I guess in essence, what Lou is asking, and people say have Lou the Bajan on the inside with me. He was a Bajan to the World semi-finalist. Congratulations to him. I think he's a guest performer at the finals as well. You're not sure yet. That might not happen.
Not happening.
Well, cool. But we will see you on much more stages. Him and I got a lot of projects to do, you know.
Yeah.
You know, through my new programs and projects that I'm running out in every single community. So you could look for some films and short films from him. I already commissioned him. I already give him, you know, the green light. And we already got things in motion. So big ups to all of my peoples and my partners. So you can look for some short films and so on coming from Lou. Already dealt with, already sponsored. So you all can look out for that. We ain't end up going to give too much details now, Lou. But just know everything done, signed, done, sealed. Yeah. All Lou have to do is deliver, and I'm extremely sure he will do that. Yeah. So we have Lou the Bajan on the inside and answer some great questions. So thanks for that. And feel free, Lou, to ask any. I love it. Young people do that. You understand? You know me, that's me. So yeah. Ma'am, I guess what he's asking, if Sluggy come to you with a bipolar disorder or whatever, right? How can you and your company, Psychotherapy in Nature, help Uncle Sluggy if he come to you with that disorder or any other disorder that is similar?
Sure. So I guess what's important to acknowledge is that whilst nature therapy is a modality in itself, often what therapists do is they combine a number of traditional therapies, such as cognitive behavioral therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy, psychodynamic, with being in the outdoors. So depending on the specifics of your background, just talking to that particular diagnosis, what we're thinking about there are highs and lows, all right? So your highs are the anxiety and the lows are the depressive states. So the first thing, and the way that I would understand this, is that we're going to seek to look at you as a whole and we're going to seek to rebalance you, your body and mind, all right? We're going to look primarily at regulating your nervous system, because what's causing the highs and lows are the physiological response, all right? Your anxiety. I mean, you can start thinking about a diagnosis or a label of bipolar in many different ways. As I said already, we're starting to think about highs and lows. So we're thinking about anxiety and depression, all right? Anxiety is your flight response. Depression is your freeze response. And earlier I mentioned about the limbic brain, which is responsible for fight, flight, freeze. And Lou mentioned too, helpfully, about the two brains, the limbic brain and the cortex. The cortex is responsible for the rational thinking and the limbic brain for the primitive responses that I've just described. So on a neurological level now, we can think that we want to try and build and restructure new neural pathways so that the information we perceive from our environment starts feeding into the cortex, the rational thinking brain, as opposed to the limbic brain. So in order to do that, as I say, we need to think about emotion regulation. So we need to think about some of the body therapies, the body work, the nature and the animal stuff. And then we do need to address some of the cognitive functioning, so some perhaps the maladaptive thinking. And we can do that by using, for example, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Hey, nice. I love that. Lou have a next question. They can read off one of the questions first and then let Lou ask his question and you can answer both. So thank you so much, man, for having a chat with us this evening and being so patient and us taking so much of your time. Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Thank you so much. What I have to ask first, and then let Lou ask his question. Someone asked if you think the average person, can the average person do any of your courses, or do you have to be trained as a psychologist? That was one question.
That's a great question. And what I really love is that we attract lots of different people from many different backgrounds. Ranging from social workers to general practitioners, so your medical GPs, to school teachers or people that work in an office. Primarily for our courses, what we ask is that you're mature and that you have some life experience. that's what's most important for us.
Well, nice. So anyone can. I love that. And the next question before I go to Lou, do you think that it is healthy for persons to take on, to go to a session, to book a session, even if they don't think anything is wrong with them? And they like this, and people feel free to ask me anything. I will ask it. Ask me anything, keep the messages coming. Do you think it would be good for persons to book a session even if they think nothing is wrong with them? Because for me, I don't think it necessarily anything have to be wrong with you. But I understand the question. I understand the fears that persons might have. I get to that and then they're wrong with me, how it might turn me, whatever, right? So the question is, do you think the average person or someone who might feel nothing is wrong with me, would it be good for them to book a session, and will it be helpful and useful? Thanks. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. If nothing else, then as therapists, we hold a very safe space, a confidential space, as an impartial third person for people to talk about whatever it might be in their life. But also it can be used as personal development. So perhaps you've got some life goals that you want to work towards. Perhaps there's things you're curious about yourself or an experience or your family. So psychotherapy and that space can be used for a number of different reasons. You don't have to have a diagnosis or severe symptoms. Mainly also, again, comes back to us being human. What we're really concerned with is how we're showing up in the world. How's my relationship with myself? And how's my relationship with other people?
If nice. I can also add to that.
Go ahead, buddy.
I'm a big advocate for everybody having therapy in terms of mental health. Here's how I like to put it. You have your physical health in terms of your body functioning. Your mind, you need to also take care of your mind. So it's like, you have a car. You drive the car every day. You know, nothing may be wrong with it, but you know, sometimes it's still good to get a checkup because something you can find something to stop it from breaking down. So it's like, think of you going to therapy as the car, taking it to the mechanic. You can either wait till the car completely breaks down and it's not working to try to bring it back up, or you could go before stuff happens so you can find stuff in the early so you can allow to get a little more longevity. I just trying to put it in layman's term for like the average person to understand. So even if you don't think something is wrong with you, therapy, there's something in therapy for everybody, because there's a lot of people, for example, say every morning somebody does get up and go clap their hands and soon leave bed. It's like for them, they may say, no, that's just who I am. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do has a reason behind it, has a beginning. And what therapy does, it allows you to find the reasons, allow you to understand you better, and then it gives you the power to change. And I don't mean that you'd want, like, don't think of I have to change. Think of it like in life, the only constant in life is change. So then by understanding yourself, you can then make change in the positive direction. Say that you want to better your career or something. So by understanding yourself better, the changes that you will need to make to better yourself, you will be able to do that because of therapy. So that is just me playing a way for the average person to understand why it is good. Therapy and taking care of your mental health is very important.
Nice. I love that. I have a question coming in from the WhatsApp again, ma'am. And shout outs to this person is 834. You won't call it the phone number, but 834. Shout outs to you. So I think you said that our thinking is often disconnected from our bodies and our external world. So how does animal therapy help us reconnect mind and body? Can you further clarify how this happens? Let me read the question again, and people keep the questions coming. Absolutely love it. So I think you said that our thinking is often disconnected from our bodies and our external world. So how does animal therapy help us reconnect mind and body?
Can you further clarify how this happens? Again, thank you very much for the WhatsApp messages.
Sure. So I don't really know where to start. I suppose, again, which I've already mentioned, when we're working with animals, we're looking at nonverbal communication. So we're already starting, if we want to engage with them in any way, we want to move out of our heads and into our bodies, and we have to find a way to do that. Unfortunately, as also has been mentioned today, trauma is huge in society, and part of trauma is where we dissociate, which means that when we've experienced highly stressful or traumatic situations, our brain gets us to move out of our bodies so that we can experience psychological or physical pain. You know, that's the fact, sadly. And once we've been through those situations, we generally then lose that connection to our body. So through animal and nature-assisted therapies, we have to find a way of reconnecting with the body. And we do that through grounding. And we do that through emotion regulation. Just through touch, even, whether that's touch in nature, hugging a tree, whether that's noticing our feet on the ground, whether we're doing relaxation exercises and starting to regulate the system that way, or whether, like so much research shows, touch is hugely important, and we can do that with animals. So that really regulates and soothes the nervous system. That really starts to build those new neural pathways that I mentioned earlier, so that we can experience our environment in a different way, in a calm way, and an embodied way.
Nice. I absolutely love that. Now, I must read out one of your core values again, right? To let Barbara just hear this and that, let you respond. I absolutely love this. To ensure issues of diversity are met open-mindedly, compassionately, and inclusively. To provide a professional and accountable service to a range of service users, practitioners, students, which holds integrity at the core of our work. To often innovative, interactive, stimulating, enjoyable, and rewarding education, consultation, and clinical supervision. Now, when you spoke about diversity and open-mindedness, you know, open-mindedly, and those two things specifically, I want you to speak about those two things specifically and why are they important to you, you know, as a practitioner and as someone now living on an island, which must be a very different experience. Why is diversity and open-mindedness so important in this journey?
I'm so glad that you asked that, because I guess that a lot of people must wonder that too. You know, who is this English woman? What's she going to know about our culture? During our training, you know, on most core training, certainly to doctoral level, we have a whole module based on working with issues of diversity. If we can't work with people from different backgrounds, whether that's socioeconomical or whatever it might be, how on earth are we going to help? So I guess part of being a therapist, I know part of being a therapist through our own personal therapy and through all the other tools on the training is about learning who we are so that we can understand our prejudices. And if we can't, and we can't park those and can't be aware of them in the moment when we're sitting in front of another person that we might not like, or they might have different opinion to us, they might have a different upbringing, we're, again, not going to be able to help. And so, you know, there's an awful lot of technique that goes into therapeutic intervention. Remind me of the second part of your question, Sluggy.
And I think you answered it beautifully, but answering about diversity and open-mindedness and why open-mindedness is important, because, you know, us small island people, we can be really, really stuck and trapped in things we may believe in, you know. So why is open-mindedness imperative towards a person's personal development.
Sure. So when you say a person's personal development, do you mean if a client was coming to me?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure how to answer that question, if I'm honest, because what if someone isn't able to access that open-mindedness? What if they do just show up and they are a bit closed? You know, we have to be able to work with that. And again, we've got lots of different tools and techniques to be able to do that and to be able to meet someone where they're at. You know, that's what it's about.
Well, I love that, meet someone where they're at. So that is telling me that you are more than capable of working with anyone, no matter the difficulty of the situation.
I'd like to think so, but, you know, that's what assessment's for. That's really important in order to deliver ethical work, is even now, after so many years in practice, am I the right practitioner for you? Do you feel that? And do I feel that? And am I competent at this point and position in my life to work with what's coming up for you?
Oh, ma'am, I love that. And I love your honesty in answering the questions. I absolutely love it. Now, your courses, can you please explain to us what courses do you offer? How long are the courses and who can they help and how can they help?
Sure. So the subsidiary to Psychotherapy in Nature, as you mentioned, is called Psychotherapy Training Hub. And we're the only private internationally accredited education institution on the island offering accredited courses in counselling and psychotherapy. So earlier you asked a question from someone on WhatsApp about, you know, who can take part. So as we say on all of our posts on social media, no previous experience is necessary. So we first offer an introduction to counselling weekend, which actually, again, is held in nature for a very good reason. So learning in nature, it just, you know, you get added benefits. It's a richer learning experience. So that runs from the Friday afternoon until the Sunday afternoon. And ideal for people in the helping professions, so you might be a teacher. You know, you can think of many helping professions once you start thinking about it, where people are put upon or, you know, people offload. So you could be a hairdresser, a tattooist, personal trainer. And all day long, people are telling you their problems, but you don't necessarily have the skill set to be able to answer, to listen, or actually to look after yourself, because it can get a lot if people are just sort of offloading on you. Of course, the introduction to counselling too forms part of the level 4 accredited diploma in counselling. So you can enter onto that and learn really great skills that you can take into the workplace if you're a teacher, if you're a general practitioner, if you're a psychologist. So that's the most basic. We've recently launched a new level 3 accredited diploma in counselling, which is online. So we're in the process now of developing our Moodle e-learning platform. And you may know, for anyone that's been to university, Moodle are really one of the leaders around the world. So it's really quite exciting for us. We offer a level 4 therapeutic counselling diploma, and that lasts for 1 year. And that it's framed and designed so that if you are in a full-time role as a parent or you've got another profession, the modules again run from the Friday evening to the Sunday afternoon, generally once a month, apart from December, January, and June. And there's a combination of learning methods for that.
Nice. I love that. And I like that you mentioned that they are accredited as well. And which is extremely, yeah, extremely important, because, you know, and people going to want to know, are they accredited? You know, people love things behind the name. It's true. People love letters, I should say, ma'am, behind their name. So that means, since you are accredited, that means that when we do one of your courses, I can add this on for my resume, because accredited most places in the world.
Absolutely. So you would have DIP, as in diploma, dot count, as in counselling, after your name. And because we're accredited by the ACCPH, which is the governing body, you would also then be able to, you'd start as a student member, which is fantastic. And then once you completed our course, along with 100 clinical placement hours, you would move up to full member status. So then you'd have another four letters or five letters after your name. So you'd have the M in front of the ACCPH.
Nice.
But the accreditation is really important because not only does the ACCPH map out a student career up until, you know, my level where I've been invited to be fellow and I'm a fully fledged organisational member, it makes sure that we're accountable and that what we're providing is of quality.
No, I love that. Psychotherapy in nature and psychotherapy training hub. I think it's a wonderful service that you offer. I think it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, and I'm so happy that you are in Barbados. I must, before I let you go, I must ask you, I must get in your business. Are there any plans to partner with schools, to partner with communities, partner with maybe the government and youth organizations to use your service to really help our communities, especially the youth? You have any plans in the future for partnering with government or institutions?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I've done over the years in the UK. With one of my partners, the Paradise Nature Park, we are actively working on proposals for charity organisations. And I spoke to a psychologist and a social worker about a year ago, actually, at the Child Care Board, because equine therapy particularly is highly effective, and it's also cost effective because it's so much more powerful.
Nice. And I think it would be an absolute good thing. I can envision psychotherapy and Paradise Nature Park. I got a shout out to Paradise Nature Park last week. Olive, Mr. Amy, and his wife and grandson, they got to go to Paradise Nature Park today. Absolutely free. So shout outs to them. Shout outs to Paradise Nature Park for giving my listeners, you know, giving my listeners some free access. And once you enter, you can stop as long as you want. All is not a matter where they're rushing you home after 5 minutes or after an hour. You know, you could go there, pay the price, and spend 4 hours if you want. But Paradise Nature Park every week giving me a couple free passes to give out. So you must salute Paradise Nature Park, and I feel real good, Philippa, to hear that you're partnering with Paradise Nature Park, because this is my dream and my vision, that, you know, you can have open sessions with you, Paradise Nature Park, and some children. Let me see, during the summer, got a couple children coming for some sessions during the summer, you know, some counseling sessions, some exercises, you know, to strengthen the mind. I think that'd be a beautiful thing, and I hope that is something that we can make happen, because I'm sure you would have certain things that you could do with children that could help them think differently or help open their mind a bit and help improve them in many different areas. So I hope that's something that we can certainly work on together in the future, having some sessions with the youth.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Well, Sluggy, what I want to tell you, it's now 26 minutes before 8. Time is just about run out. But, as usual, you're having a great program. You do have a caller on the line. You've got two guests. So I'm willing to give you, we can take it up to 15 minutes before 8, give you some additional time to enjoy yourself.
Thank you. I'll take the extra time and talk with Lou. But Lou, I'm sure Lou will enjoy the conversation and answer questions. And not plus psychology. Yeah, psychology is his thing as well. We have a caller. Philippa, we have a caller. You don't mind if we take a call live on air?
Sure.
No problem. Good evening. Welcome to Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme. We have Lou the Beijing from Beijing to the World, a semi-finalist. You can look out for lots more from him.
Yes, hi.
Coming through, Babe Got Talent. We have the Dr. Philippa on the inside. You have a question for her?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Good evening.
You're welcome, my brother.
Yes, good evening to you, Danan. I really appreciate the topic on mental health this evening and the discussion on how we can make it better
yes.
in terms of this Yeah, in terms of this
psychotherapy
nature,
in nature, and they also have a training hub as well. So make
and
sure
training
everyone,
hub as well,
yeah, they do. So make sure everyone can check us out. It's saying us, because you know those are my partners for sure.
Well, we're working together forever.
You can go.
I'm so happy you got it.
You can go on social media and check out psychotherapy and nature, or you can check out psychotherapy training hub. Go ahead with your question, my brother.
Yeah, thanks very much. Appreciate it. So you know me as DJ Cog,
okay.
And I've been calling for a little while now, and I'm very excited about the show, and I'm excited about this question as well. I'm really looking forward to the answer, and I want to thank her for coming on and making my night, my Saturday night. I'm not going out partying, but I could party. I could do it. So
that's
no,
awesome, man.
The question
thanks
is
support.
That
go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. To the psychotherapist, how and why is this particular therapy, psychotherapy in nature, 100, 1,000, how is it more efficacious? How is it more effective? How is it more what you would call better in terms of what it does for an average person like me coming in terms of your counseling and your background, who counsels the counselor? In other words, how do you get better based on what is happening in your area, in your field, that you can further as we go forward in the future, both patient as well as the practitioner? So who counsels the counselor? How is the practitioner better in terms of, this is 2023, how about in 5 years when you have to be accredited again? What can you do better to help me?
Thanks for your question.
In other words, where is it going? Where is the research? Where is the therapy going? How is it getting better? Do you know who can counsel you? Who counsels the counselor?
Thanks again for your question. I just want to check my understanding of that.
Yes,
thank you very much. I understood there were two different questions there.
It's a compound. Yeah, a compound question. And once you have upgraded, once you have been counseled, once you have been better in terms of your modus operandi and your modalities, when you increase, when you get more patients coming, when you get better services, when you get more people on board for yourself, so like it was just mentioning the question about the government. What right? So when you are counseled, who counsels the counselor? How is it then that I am better in terms of your own development based on my treatment? In other words, would you use your baseline treatment? Would you use your traditional treatments in terms of, you mentioned the equine therapy and so on? How about would you use ursuline therapy, the bear therapy, those bears? Is that where you're going, and would you use those advanced techniques, or would you?
All right, See, let her answer the question. And they don't know where you're going with bears. That is four questions in one. You're getting one. You are getting one single question. You can't get four. DJ Cog, and she so ask one question. One question
well.
And go.
Yeah, thanks. So who counsels the counselor? What improvements? Because I know, I know that there's you don't do the
Cog,
beers, but
Cog, ask one question.
Who counsels the counselor? Thank you.
Sure, I'm so glad that you asked that, Cog, because it really is important. We all need therapy, and if you're a therapist and you haven't had therapy or you're not engaging in therapy, it's going to be a problem.
Mm.
So I myself. Mm-hmm. Dip into my own psychotherapy when it's needed. So I hate
your upgrades on your own therapeutic basis based upon the patient. The helping the patient, like me.
Sorry, I'm misunderstanding you. What do you mean by upgrade?
Well, I mentioned who counsels the counselor. You answered that, but at the same time, it would help you to go forward in your means and your modes and your methods and your modalities and helping the patient. Because once you're counseled, then, or once you are upgraded, there's the and I didn't mean constant in terms of something is wrong, but based on where the discussion was going tonight, as you mentioned, everybody's not perfect and so on.
So, Akog, you plan to do any therapy sessions?
Oh, we'll have to come. Give my ticket. Let me go. I've never experienced anything like that before, so
I can do that.
I took the ticket last week as well.
No problem. I can do that.
Thank you.
I can do that for you. I'm gonna do that for you. I can organize a session for you.
Sweet, thank you.
Yeah, I can organize a session for you in the future. Thank you so much.
God bless
so
man. Much for bless calling,
and God bless you. Yes.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Yes, thanks, Ollie. Big up. Cog calls himself Cog. He asks 75 questions in one, can only have one. And at the end, he absolutely lost me. I didn't understand what he was trying to answer at the end at all. The modalities. See, I didn't understand. The day my man asked Philip about the be efficacious. You know, efficacious. You know, efficacious is a medical term. You know, the effectiveness of clinical interventions based on the evidence of controlled studies. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So he answers here already. Question: Cog salt, you pain she. But Bigot, I love the callers, Philippa. Thank you for trying so hard to ask you the question. You know, you get all types of callers, and I absolutely love all of them. No question is a stupid question. No question is a silly question, and we love all questions. 434-1790. Sorry for not taking all of your calls, and the one call was called. You know, we love it. Got all of the office bracket. Don't got Lou. 434-1790. Sorry for missing so much calls, but I love the messages that are coming in. Now, Philippa, the final question for you before you tell us all how to find you, you know, your website, your address, your phone numbers, and so on. They're going to ask you for all of that. And of course, you know, I'm going to share this information every single weekend. It got you 1,000%. Now, someone asks, how can they book a session? Where can they find you? I love that question, Philippa.
Where and how can you book a session? Is that right?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure. So there are a number of different ways. You can find us on Instagram, on Psychotherapy in Nature, and you can direct message us there. You can WhatsApp our Psychotherapy in Nature number, which is 283-3279. You can email us at secretary@psychotherapyinnature.com. Or you can plainly pick up the phone and give us a call.
Nice, nice. I love that. And can you tell us on air how much a session would call a norm? Do you hold certain days, certain sessions, certain days? You see, you partner with Paradise Nature Park. You have anything coming up with them? How much a session would cost?
Sure. So again, when you read out the mission statement, what's really important is that I try to be inclusive. So I've always done this, actually. It's important to me. I work on a sliding scale. So I have the set fees, but if it's unaffordable and we agree we're going to do one session, you know, as a one-off or a series of sessions, it's usual that I may offer a discount on that. The standard weekly price is $300 for 50 minutes. But it very much varies on where we are, the type of work we're doing, how long, how many, etc. And yes, I do try not to drive myself crazy by driving up and down the island and so on, and have set days for where I am. I also do a lot of online work. So that tends to be Thursdays. Monday afternoon, I'm often at Paradise Nature Park or at other partners, Maniki on the East Coast, which is beautiful. But let's not forget too that Psychotherapy in Nature kind of does what it says on the tin, so you're very welcome and I'm open to working wherever you want to in nature.
Nice. I love that. Philippa, thank you so much. And as you can see, people are loving the show. We're supposed to finish at 7:30 and it's 7:44, which means it's absolutely awesome. You know, they didn't rush us off. Oh my gosh, get them off the air. No, people are absolutely loving it. So thank you so much. Again, before you go, please let us know your phone number again and how can we find you on social media. And let me just say thank you so much
for answering my million questions. Thank you for taking the call live on air, and thank you for answering Lou the Bajan questions as well. I really, really appreciate you answering all of my questions.
Thank you so much. I've had a lovely time, and it's really been my pleasure.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Can you please give us the number again, and how can we find you on social media, please?
Sure. So it's at Psychotherapy in Nature. And the number for that is 283-3279. We've also got at Psychotherapy Training Hub. And the number for that is 233-4605.
Nice. 233-4605, the Psychotherapy Training Hub. Those are my peoples, you know. Thank you so much. Philippa, will you be able to come on next week for a shorter period, of course? We won't keep you so long, but we'll be able to come next week and share with some more information, how it's going so far, and what's up next. We'll be able to give us a bit of an info next week.
Sure.
Nice. Thank you very much. See why I love you now? You know you got me back all the time. Yes, keep up the good work though, ma'am. Here, keep up the great work, and I look forward to speaking to you much, much more. And I truly hope that we find a way to use your services, especially nationwide, when it comes to the schools and the children and our communities. I do hope that us and can find a way to use you much more, because is extremely important. And when you explain why it can help anyone, even if you don't think you have an issue, you know what I mean? When you explain how a session can help anyone, I love that. And we need to speak more about that. And we need these things to become much more normal, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with therapy. Philippa, you represented extremely well today. Psychotherapy in Nature, you can find them on IG, or Psychotherapy Training Hub. You can find him on IG. Ma'am, please have a wonderful, wonderful evening. On behalf of everyone at Starcom Network, thank you so much for coming through this evening.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, Philippa.
Right, guys, bang, bang, bang. Psychotherapy in Nature and Psychotherapy Training Hub. Big up Paradise Nature Park, my peoples on the outside listening. Paradise Nature Park is absolutely beautiful. All I saw, chickens with black skin. Don't ask. I don't know. Wait, chickens with black skin.
I can't remember the name, but those chickens, not only the skin black, I think it's even down to the bone.
Yes.
That is black. The only thing that is not black is their eggs, which feels like a cop out, but that is amazing.
And the fur. The fur white, the eggs white, everything else black.
Feathers.
And they have the feathers, sorry. Thank you. That's what you're braver than I am. Feathers. That way, keep young people around. All you do, they're far more sharper than we are. And we learn a lot from them. Lou, you're all going to be hearing a lot more from Lou. You know, I'm keeping him close, Ollie. You know what I mean? That's a one-stop shot. I'm keeping him close to me all the time. Make sure he's out of trouble and make sure he's covered till we reach that goal. We got work to do. And put down my head and work. This, I'm not telling you, but because I bring you back again, you got to come out next week and hang out with me again. We got lots more to talk next week. It'll be just you and I for the period. And as you can see, Ollie always grants us a little more time. We're supposed to finish at 7:30. We got a lot more time. Tell people how to find you, but it's not goodbye because, again, I'm bringing you back next week.
Yeah. Lou the Bajan. L-U-I. The I is silent. That is on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. I would say, I know I took a little break and I only know starting back. So far, I've only started back on Instagram. But eventually, I will get back to the Twitter, the TikTok, and the YouTube. I really can't wait till I start back YouTube, because I have a lot of ideas.
That's a whole convo. You see the YouTube? No, and we can be pushing YouTube for sure. You know,
we can't got only one TV or only one place to watch TV as the only option. So yeah. we can show Beijing Soul, they got lots more options. So yeah. you took a bump in. We can end with him, or we can let him wrap up. We give you the last word. Peoples, thank you so much. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the messages. I can't say this enough. I never envisioned it be my life working on the station with the most listeners in Barbados by far. You know what I mean? That's something. I love bragging about a hardest boy like me from the ghetto.
I'm from the ghetto too. Shout out to my Silver Hill people.
You know what I mean, Luan? And we here, my brother, I love Starcom for giving us the opportunity to do what we're doing, you know, because we're going to the hills, we're going to the valleys, and we're going for the top. We're showing these youngsters, listen, crime in the only way, badness in the only way, evil in the only way. You can make it out to any circumstance. Lou, we ending off for today, but he's coming back next week. People are keeping you close to me. But I want you to tell Barbados, the ones that support you especially, I want you to end with a final word to all your loyal supporters for Basically the Worst So Far.
Mm-hmm. So I can give a line in my performance before one of my first semi-final performance. I'm Lou the Bajan. I call myself that because being Bajan means being a cut above the rest. Being Bajan means you are from the best island.
Yes.
From part of the best country.
Yes.
One of the best people yes. in this world. Lou the Bajan. And I am going to the upper echelons of fame in this world. And I want wherever I go, people understand that I am Bajan because I'm a cut above the rest. And that is all for me. Lou the Bajan. Yes. L-U-I the Bajan on yes. everything.
Bim Got Talent, Quantum Productions forever. You know, Quantum Productions is the overall company that manages everything. Big up my management, Mr. Randy Eastman, on the outside listening in all the time. Quantum Productions, Bim Got Talent. Ollie. Another great discussion. We learned a lot today. We had a doctor on the inside giving us some insight and vision. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme every Saturday with your boy Uncle Sluggy and Uncle Ollie on the nation's number one station, VOB 92.9 FM.